House Bill 2284 and get started on hearing of 2284. Representative Mason, Representative Anderson have been notified and are anticipated to arrival. So, Richard Ponzi? No, we need to send the Stuart gets back. Thank you.
Madam Chair.
Yes,
My name is Dick Ponzi. I am president of the Columbia River Brewery in Portland, Oregon, a brewery that's been operating since November and Portland's second brewery, or Oregon's second brewery. What I'd like to do before we discuss the bill in detail is to give you some background and history to indicate the need for such a bill. Small breweries were very commonplace in the turn of the century all over the United States, and Portland had several breweries of its own. Subsequently, with the legislation of the federal prohibition laws, many of the breweries had gone out of business or were purchased by large breweries, national corporate breweries. In recent, last 20 years or so, import beers became very popular in the United States, and the increase of that market caused a more sophisticated beer drinker and a need for a more specialized beer. Currently, there's a trend, an overwhelming trend of small breweries returning to the scene, peaked with specialty beers and particularly import beers that are coming into the country. Many states have liberalized their beer legislation to allow small breweries called local breweries of major cities to operate, and have liberalized their laws to allow breweries to sell retail as well as wholesale. The states of California, Washington, New York, and many others have liberalized their laws, and we're seeing some of the beers from these states coming into our state as well. The legislation as written will liberalize the regulations such that the small brewery will have an additional outlet, which it does not have now, that is a retail outlet, to market their beers and to make it available at a more profitable level. The attraction to these small breweries is being noted by tourists, and tourism is particularly an important aspect of these small breweries. Many beer drinkers are traveling to states of California where there are a number of small breweries operating, and to the states of Washington. I've passed out some legislation that is currently adopted by our neighbors of California and Washington as examples of liberalized brewery regulations. Primarily what this legislation does is allow a small brewery, and we're talking of 25,000 barrels, and this is minuscule compared to the large corporate breweries of several million barrels annual production. So we're talking about a small operation, an operation that requires an additional outlet for its beers, and that is a retail outlet. Rather than go through the bill itself, I'd be very happy to discuss any of the points in the bill with you. In reading over the bill just before this hearing, we've noticed a couple omissions from the House bill that were intended to be incorporated in this bill. The original intention of the bill was to liberalize the brewing laws, which would allow a brewery to sell retail as well as wholesale. and the privilege of selling wholesale has been omitted in this bill, at least in the language of the bill, although it is mentioned in on page 3, line 11, as having a privilege, that license having the privilege of wholesale as well as retail. We'd like to have the language of the bill revised to reflect that. My suggestion is to insert on line 15, between lines 14 and 15 of page 1, the wording to store, transport, sell at wholesale, distribute to licensees of the commission, and export. That would give us the privilege that the bill was intended to do, that is to retail as well as wholesale the beer. In addition to that, those revisions, another insert that we would like to see in this bill, and that is on statement 20 on page 1, to add at the end of that sentence, and special retail beer license. This insertion is, in fact, this whole bill is modeled pretty much after the winery bill, which allows wineries to sell wholesale and retail and also to have one day or special permit licenses.
I guess the only question I have is that your suggested additions to line 14 go well beyond wholesale. And I think that we'll have to take a... I guess I'd ask you to present them in writing to the staff, and then we'll have to take a look at
them. I can tell you where that came from so that it doesn't hit you as something very new. It basically comes from the brewery license. However, the brewery license, as written now, excludes the use or the sale of retail.
I understand that. I don't know that you... Well, we'll just have to check with it. We've got some very complicated kind of things involved in the interface between distributors and wholesalers and retailers in the whole area, and I'm not sure that you want to take on everybody.
Well, we aren't taking on anybody. The whole intent of this legislation is to, as page 3 indicates, to manufacture, wholesale, and retail sales.
I understand that. Thank you.
I have a question, Madam Chair. Does this bill end the ban on grocery store sales of unpasteurized beer?
Pardon me?
Does this bill do away with the current ban on the sale of unpasteurized beer in grocery stores?
This doesn't address itself to grocery stores at all. This is just strictly at the brewery and the...
This is Senator Fry. This, if I might interrupt, this bill was at some point in time rumored, noted to be the vehicle for the otherwise noted as an amendment, and I think they found some other opportunities to proceed with it.
Okay. Well, I was just trying to second guess the Salem Statesman, because the Salem Statesman reported this bill as having that effect, and I guess that was an error.
Quoted someone by the name of Coors and said,
yeah. I think the magic word here is pasteurized and unpasteurized. There are unpasteurized beers on the market. That's no secret to that. All we're doing here is allowing the brewery to sell the beer wholesale as well as retail. Doesn't change anything else. It's pretty much a model after the winery legislation. At one time, wineries were restricted against retail sales.
And Madam Chair, is the brewery public house defined in another section? What's called a brewery public house? See, Ryan, on line 5, it says a brewery public house license, and I assume that's defined somewhere else. Anybody know?
No.
Okay. I think this
defines it.
Does it define it?
Gives the privileges of a brewery public house.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Day.
They sell unpasteurized beer now at license houses?
What we're talking about is keg beer, and most keg beers are unpasteurized. if you're confusing it with another brewery, you're talking about bottled beer. We're not talking about bottled beer here. We're talking about unpasteurized beer.
You're selling unpasteurized beer taverns now?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's been that way for centuries.
I see.
It's just the bottling that is...
Could be unhealthy, though.
No, it's just in the bottling that it becomes an issue.
Thank you.
Okay. Are there other questions?
Would it be appropriate to amend the bill to provide that there could be no unpasteurized beer sold in the state?
But you'd probably eliminate a good portion of the beers. Among them would be probably the Blitz.
Yes. Well, I thought there was only one unpasteurized beer. That...
Again, we're confusing bottled beer with keg beer. And keg beer is kept at temperatures usually which keeps it safe from any harmful effects to the human body.
Canned beer isn't.
Okay. You have anything else? I would ask you to submit your amendments if you can in writing, get Representative Mason or somebody to gather them together.
As I say, that was the original intent was to allow the brewery to sell at a retail. And that was overlooked in the revisions, but stipulated on page 3 is the intent.
Okay.
So it's the wording that was omitted.
Representative Anderson is here, unless anybody else has further questions.
Thanks, Chair Cohen. Colleagues. I'm here hearing on behalf of House Bill 2284. I'll lay some background. I'm a charter member of the Oregon Wine Growers Association. One time I had 16 acres of wine grapes. There's a direct parallel, I believe, between the brew pub microbreweries, or whatever you like to call them. Out of breath, up two flags. Of course, on page 3 of the bill, this allows manufacturing, wholesale, retail, sales, all wrapped into one. Currently, our farm licenses, in which most of the wineries in the state pretty much have these same rights all wrapped into one license. Currently, that is the fee that we charge the small wineries, the boutique wineries, etc. I think this is a good economic development bill. As I understand, there are about 5 of these microbreweries up and running, or about to be up and running. I particularly like Dick Ponzi's new product, the label of Bridgeport. I think it's outstanding, and I think it could do nothing but benefit the state of Oregon. With these small businesses up and running, to be able to reach that a certain stage of the game at the same $250 license fee, I think is appropriate.
Okay. Thank you very much. I'll call Charles Kurtz.
Thank you. Just my observation, Madam Chair, it's a pleasure to go from banking to beer.
I wondered if you'd ever get around to that, Senator Otto. There was a time when you folks were ready to get rid of the beer.
Right.
Mr. Kurtz.
Madam Chairman, members of the committee, I'm Charles Kurtz. I'm the Assistant Director of License Division for the Oregon Liquor Control Commission. I think I marked myself as opposed to this bill, although the commission is really not in opposition, but I do have a couple of comments that I'd like to make.
Good.
We're concerned with the language of Section 2, Paragraph 3 of the bill. In its present form, the bill exempts a holder of a brewery public house license from the restrictions of ORS 471.452, 471.455, 471.456, and 471.460. These statutes prohibit liquor manufacturers or wholesalers from having a financial interest in a retail liquor business. They likewise prohibit retailers from having financial interest in manufacturing or wholesale businesses. The bill apparently intends to allow a brewery public house license holder to hold a retail malt beverage license, which is a retail license, as stated in Section 2, Paragraph 4 of the bill. We think this language is overly broad and provides a window for a brewery public house license holder to obtain financial interest in any wholesale or retail license business.
Okay.
And we suggested an application to specifically limit the eligibility for an RMB retail license, though Mr. Ponzi suggested also in his testimony a few moments ago, also allowing a special retail malt beverage license, which would be a very similar privilege to that a winery holds, and I don't believe that we'd have an objection to that.
You don't have any objections to that?
That's very similar to the winery privilege.
Okay, could you then, could I ask you to have at least be prepared when, so that Brad can contact you and you can check the specific wording of that that was suggested by Mr. Ponzi, so that we make
related
sure that
wholesaling.
Special retail license, is that what it's called?
Special retail malt beverage license, I believe, is the specific.
Yes.
Well, that's probably maybe all right. But
Senator Day.
I guess if we were to look at deregulation, we decided to go deregulation, tell me the harm of, that you feel that if that particular prohibition were eliminated, what harm would that necessarily do?
Well, I it's kind of a philosophical issue, I suppose. Originally, those the prohibition between mixing the wholesale and retail business primarily was to restrict or disperse power and influence in the industry, to make it not so attractive to organized crime, perhaps, and to make it more attractive to small business.
You think that same standard that exists today that existed when this was passed?
I don't know. I suspect that we've been reasonably successful in keeping organized crime out of the liquor business in Oregon. Whether specifically because of that prohibition or not, I can't say.
So, from a philosophical standpoint, why should the government be in there at all?
That's a good point. I don't really have any answer.
Okay. There are other questions?
Madam Chair, I wonder what is a certificate of approval?
It's essentially a license to import into the state, either from out of the country or from out of state, import a liquor product into state Oregon.
Fee shall allow manufacture, wholesale, and retail sales, including certificate of approval. That's hard.
A certificate of approval is a permit that's available now to manufacturers and wholesalers. Businesses who hold manufacturers and wholesale licenses are eligible to apply for those import certificates.
And would you assume that the fact that wording is there on the license fee includes wholesale, that despite the fact that the front page of the bill only talks about selling at retail, they would still be authorized to sell wholesale?
Well, I think that I would assume that. I think that I would, in fact, when I discussed this originally with Mr. Ponzi at Hall, I didn't notice that on page 3, but I would certainly see the language on page three as to allow just what it says that it allows.
Okay, we're satisfied with questions, and we'll work on amendments and circulate them around. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
There's a Kurt Widmer did sign up and was crossed out. Do you, is Kurt here, or would he like to say anything?
Not necessarily.
Okay, thank you. We'll reopen the hearing if Representative Mason comes. I think we've gotten input and suggestions for amendments, and we'd like to be back in touch with you to see what they look like. Thank you. Close the hearing on House Bill 2284. And we're in the business of a work session, and I think we'll take up Senate Bill 334, which is the fish co-ops. We have amendments, people here to offer amendments with respect to food co-ops that's been circulating around. So Roger Auerbach is here, and for members, we have in our packets, I think, amendments which define fish marketing co-ops, right, Brad? And that's where you're getting organized, Roger. Let's have Brad go through the definitions of a fish co-op. If you remember, folks, this was Senator Bradbury's bill, and we had some discussions a time or two about what kind of a definition we needed to have for a fishing cooperative, and I thought we had them, but...
Right, what you should have in your folders, Brad Higby, by the way, committee administrator, what you should have in your folders are legislative council amendments 334-6 and -7. -6 is the one which deals with a fishing cooperative, and as you can see, the definition and function of fishing cooperative is incorporated into a new subsection 10, and it should add the requisite specificity.
These have been passed out to the sponsor, Senator Bradbury, and if you might tell us a little bit about the background of where the definition came from, Brad, and how you've worked out the definition.
I worked out the definition with Mr. Chandler, the attorney who appeared at the previous hearing, and legislative council drafted some supplementary language, and that has been approved by Mr. Chandler, who indicated he could not be here today.
And we have people from the Corporation Commissioner's office who are available and have no interest really in the definition as far as I can understand. And if you'd like to come identify yourself and you know, kind of confirm that for the record.
Madam Chairman and members of the committee, I'm Bill Brooks. I'm a senior securities examiner with the Corporation Division, State of Oregon. We have reviewed the definition as presented and have no problem with it.
Okay, I guess I'd ask you, have you also had a chance to review the second version?
We have, and we have a like response to that amendment.
Okay, that's Bill Brooks for the record on both of the amendments Senator Day. Yes.
What's the origin of the amendments at Day 7?
Roger Auerbach will define them. I just wanted to...
I want to know something about on line 10 and 11 when you get to it.
They're
okay.
Going to get to that. But I just wanted to check, as long as we have Mr. Brooks...
Anyway, you cleared both of these. You have no objection to them?
Madam Chairman, Senator Day, that's correct.
Fine. Goodbye.
Thank you very much, Mr. Brooks, for coming in. Roger Auerbach is here. Let's go ahead and hear what your amendments are on -7, and then we'll take work session on 6 and see where we are with either or both. Roger,
thank you.
No, that's it.
Oh, yes.
This is it. Just some testimony.
Okay. Okay, thank you. Chairperson Cohen, members of the committee, my name is Roger Auerbach. I live at 3434 Northwest Franklin Court, Portland, Oregon. I appear before you today to support an amendment to Senate Bill 334 to exempt membership certificates issued by consumer grocery cooperatives from registration with the Corporation Commissioner. I serve on the board of directors of Foodfront, a nonprofit grocery cooperative in Portland. The store is physically located in an area that had once been condemned for highway construction. Since the final decision not to proceed with construction, organization has been an integral part of the revitalization of that neighborhood. Although the corporation has been in continuous existence in that neighborhood for almost 15 years, the relevant history begins with the opening of our new store in 1981. We built the new store just a half block away from our old store with financial assistance from the Portland Development Commission, a commercial lender, and neighborhood residents. From the very first year of operation in our new store, we have had a sound income statement. In addition to our financial success, we have consistently met one of the corporation's stated purposes, and I quote, to encourage members of the neighborhood to join and participate in the organization. We have made special outreach efforts to senior citizens, offering them price discounts on their purchases. We donate money to neighborhood social service agencies who meet vital needs in our community. We participate in all types of neighborhood activities, including the Nob Hill Business Association. Over 75% of our members live in our neighborhood. We are here today asking for your help because we can no longer serve our neighborhood from our current store. The sheer number of shoppers has forced us to look for larger space in the neighborhood. While we will need additional bank financing to accomplish this move, we want to be able to sell membership certificates to our existing members and other neighborhood residents. We believe that membership certificates issued by a consumer grocery cooperative should be exempt from registration under Oregon securities laws. First, we believe that membership certificates are not securities as defined in ORS 59.05015. Membership certificates differ from securities in many ways. First, securities are purchased with the expectation of a dividend based on a company's profit. Membership certificates are purchased with no expectation of dividends based on profits. Secondly, securities are purchased with the expectation that they will increase in value. Membership certificates do not increase in value. Thirdly, stocks give voting rights to people based on the amount of shares purchased. Membership certificates entitle persons to one vote on all matters affecting the corporation. Securities are also commercial paper, which are negotiable and can be traded on the open market. Membership certificates are non-negotiable and cannot be sold. Second, if membership certificates are considered securities under Oregon statutes, they should be exempt from registration with the Corporation Commissioner. The major objective of our securities laws is to protect the consumer public from insubstantial, unlawful, and fraudulent stock and investment schemes. When we discovered that our planned membership certificates might be considered securities, we met with Oregon Corporation Commissioner Jane Edwards, Deputy Commissioner Tom McGoshie, and Senior Securities Examiner Bill Brooks to discuss a possible exemption from registration. As good professionals, they were all concerned with the potential for defrauding the public. We believe that the Legislative Council draft amendment before you, numbered SB 334-7, dated 4/9/85, substantively addresses the possibility of fraud. First, membership certificates may not be sold for over $300. This severely limits the potential loss by any Oregonian. Second, only one membership certificate can be issued to any individual. This again limits potential fraud and clearly distinguishes membership certificates from securities, which have virtually no limits on the amounts purchased. Third, we have been very specific in defining the benefits of membership, the discounts on purchases or patronage dividends based on the amount of money spent by a member in direct purchases. This also distinguishes membership certificates from securities where dividends are based on the company's profits and the amount of shares owned. In conclusion, we feel that we have met the intent of these securities laws to prevent consumer fraud and have demonstrated significant differences between membership certificates and securities, and therefore would request your support of our exemption from registration. As background information, 21 states, including Oregon, Idaho, Montana, and California, have enacted exemptions for membership certificates issued by cooperatives. We thank you very much for your time and attention on this matter, and would sincerely appreciate your support of this amendment. Thank you.
Thank you. Other questions? Senator Clark.
Well, does this idea differ from what is currently in existence with BuyMart, where you buy a membership card for a dollar and you can't shop there unless you're a member?
Right. This, if I could, Senator Cohen and Senator Fry, I'm not really familiar with BuyMart enough to know how their structure is, although this is not a membership-only organization, and cooperatives by law under Chapter 62, certainly aren't restricted to members only. That is a decision, I guess, under the corporate bylaws that Bi-Mart has made. And I really don't know if they have a membership certificate other than that $1 that you...
They're not corporate.
Is your operation a partnership or a corporation?
It's a corporation.
It's a corporation. And why? And I guess you could sell stock, couldn't you, to the customers?
Well, we could sell stock, but this is a different type. This is why we're asking for an exemption from registration. This is not a stock situation. This is asking people to buy membership certificates. And it's not a stock issuance. If it was a stock issuance,